We've been in this series on Sunday nights. This is, as far as I know, the last part in this series. This is part 8. And I made the point from the very beginning and several weeks thereafter that this is a wind-up clock. And if you don't wind it up, it will eventually stop. And we as Christians are a lot like this wind-up clock. There's certain areas, if we're not wound up, if we're not reminded of our responsibilities as Christians, sometimes I just don't know how some Christians get along without coming to church, because church is such an encouragement. Plus, it winds me up and says, "Oh, that's right. You know, I need to be doing that more, and I need to be doing that more." And a big part of what churches do and what preachers preach, you know, I think probably I'm not sure you've ever left church and say, "Wow, that was quite a sermon." But you know, a lot of times it's kind of like just, "Hey, I need to be reminded of that." So, as we talk about this area of leading someone to Jesus, that is. See, I believe our primary responsibility, once we're saved, our primary responsibility is to share the gospel with the people around us. Now, of course, that fits under the umbrella of glorifying and praising God with everything in my life, but I think our primary feet on the ground, rubber meet the road type of responsibility is to tell more people about Jesus. And I really believe that God brings people into our lives, whether it be at Food Lion or whether it be at the bank or whether it be as a neighbor or even someone in your own family, is so that we can tell them the gospel, share the gospel in a clear way. You'd be surprised. You would be surprised. I would be surprised, I believe, at how many people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. You know, putting your faith and trust in what Jesus, God's Son, did for you on the cross. Now, they may have heard of Jesus. They may have, you know, been to church at some point, but that doesn't mean it's a good, solid, biblical church. There's so many variables there. I remember in Chattanooga, I worked some temporary jobs there for a while I was in seminary. It seemed like that was maybe in the summers for a while, maybe that first summer. And you just never know. I worked at a T-shirt warehouse. I delivered paint at some point. Me, with my sense of direction, you got to be kidding me. But I delivered before iPhones. I'd have they drew me out a map. I drove a little DeVoe paint truck and delivered paint in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's amazing that I'm even here now, as with my sense of direction. But I remember one time I worked with a Sears repair guy for a day, and I was talking to him, young-like fellow. This is Chattanooga, Tennessee. If possible, it's even more religious, if you will, than West Virginia. You know, Tennessee is like the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, some people say. I was talking to him. He'd never heard the gospel, and I got to share it with him. He didn't accept it that day, but it's like he'd never heard that. I was like, really? You live in Chattanooga? So I'm telling you, people need to hear the gospel. And this sermon series has hopefully wound your clock a little bit to remind you that we need to be about the business of telling people about Jesus. Tonight, the last part of that series, good Lord willing, unless he changes my plans, I'll review for just a moment and then we'll go to the new stuff. But leading someone to Jesus was the title. We looked at point one. Before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. In other words, we have to believe that this book that we carry, called the Bible, is God's Word. We got to believe that. If not, we can't believe it. If not, why in the world are we trying to tell people how to be saved from that book? We have to believe that this is God's Word. It's been God-breathed. It does not have errors. And it's not even capable of having errors because it's God's Word. Secondly, before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. If we really believe the Bible, we will believe that. But if we have these, well, yeah, just as long as you're sincere, and unfortunately, some people that profess to know Jesus, I don't believe you can possess Jesus and believe this, but some people who profess to know Jesus, just believe as long as you're sincere, it doesn't really matter, that's just not true. That's not true. If that's true, Jesus is a liar, and he's not. But we have to believe Jesus is the only way and feel that strongly, so much that we want to share that. Thirdly, before leading someone to Jesus, we must know how to get there ourselves. So we have to make sure we're saved. I really believe that if we don't have assurance that we're saved, if we don't have that security that we'll say we're saved, we probably will never be the witness because we got those question marks in our own mind. And I'd encourage you, if that be the case, just settle it, nail it down. Also under that, before leading someone to Jesus, we must know how to get there ourselves. So we need to make sure we're saved, but we need to know the way to be saved. The way to be saved by calling upon the Lord. It's called the Romans Road. The Romans Road. And I have a bookmark for everybody that's here and faithful tonight. I'll give it to you before you leave or as you leave, one or the other. And it's got the Romans Road written out, the words written out. So you can take that bookmark, even if you don't have your Bible, if you want to do it that way, and say, hey, let me share with you the Romans Road. We need to know and understand that people are saved by putting their faith and trust in Jesus, not by works, but meaning it from their heart. That's important to stress and important to know that we do that by trusting the Lord Jesus truly in our heart. Fourth point we looked at in this series, before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe what the Bible says about heaven, that it's real. If we really believe heaven is real, we want everyone to go with us. If it's so good, we say, hey, I want you to go with me to heaven. Point number five in this series, before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe what the Bible says about hell. It's real. The Bible actually says more about hell than it does about heaven. And let me assure you that hell is real, and it's so bad, that we, if we really believe that it's real, we don't want anybody to go there. Remember, I'll use the analogy one more time, that if we had a cellar door that we could open just for a moment and look into hell and how bad it is, the smells and the groans and the moans and the gnashing of teeth, we wouldn't want anyone to go there. Similarly, from the point before, if we had an attic door that we could just pull down just for a few seconds, look at how glorious it was, we'd want everyone to go with us. Point number six in this sermon series, before leading someone to Jesus, we must have a concern, a heart, a burden for the lost around us. Paul said in Romans 9, for I could wish myself were accursed for Christ for my brethren. We need to be so burdened for the lost. I mean, Paul, if I'm understanding what he's saying there, he's basically saying, if I could be accursed to God or lose my salvation or not be saved so that others would be saved, I'd do it. Now, it doesn't work that way because it has to be a decision that they make. But that's a heart for the lost and a burden for the lost. We need to pray for that. Point number seven under this sermon series, before leading someone to Jesus, we must get some boldness. Boldness. It's amazing to me how bold we are in certain settings, but when it comes to sharing the gospel, we're like weaklings. We're like timid little, timid little weaklings that like, oh, I'm afraid to say anything about. I mean, otherwise we're bold. Hey, have you seen how my football team's doing? Did you see that game? Hey, what, you know, just like on and on. How's your family? We just speak with boldness when it comes to talking about Jesus. We just kind of shrivel, but we need some boldness. Point number eight, I believe that was last Sunday night. Before leading someone to Jesus, we must not be ashamed of the gospel. We must not be ashamed of the gospel. Tonight in particular, last point, again, as far as I know, last sermon in this series. Before leading someone to Jesus, we must see the need to obey God. We must see the need to obey God. How many of you think this is God's word? How many of you think that the commands in this book ought to be followed? How many of you think that every Christian ought to be following the commands in this book? So tonight, before leading someone to Jesus, we must see the need to obey God. We're going to look at five different passages briefly and see what they say about our responsibility. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. I love this because it's just so simple. As Jesus was talking to his disciples, the resurrected Jesus was talking to his disciples. He put it very succinctly as recorded in Mark's gospel. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, the main point I take from that I want to share with you tonight, our responsibility is to every man. Our responsibility is to every man. If you notice, it says in that verse, go. Too many times we sit, we hesitate, but we're supposed to go to where they are. As I've said quite often, I believe the days of people flocking to church to hear the gospel, unless we have revival, which we're praying for, that's what we preached on this morning. But if things stay the way they are, it would appear to me that the days of you putting up a revival flyer down at Food Line and you have 20 visitors as a result of seeing that flyer, or you announce it in some of the area churches and everybody comes to your revival, that just doesn't seem to happen a whole lot. So really our responsibility is to go. You know, we get together, we have worship together, we pray together, we have fellowship together, we're pumped up, we're wound up, all of those things. We're encouraged in the Lord, but it's our responsibility to go into all the world and preach. Preach what? The gospel to every creature. You see, our responsibility is to every man, to proclaim the gospel. The gospel, in its strictest sense, remember what the Bible says? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's what the gospel is. So our responsibility, first of all, is to every man. In Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Now we call this what? What do we call this passage of Scripture? Someone get a gold star for the day. We call this the Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. It's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. This cute young lady up here near the front got that right. The Great Commission. That's Amy, by the way. If you hear, who was that? Who's he calling cute? It's my wife. I can call her cute if I want to, okay? All right. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. We're going to see that our commitment is from the Lord. Our commission is from the Lord. Our commission is from the Lord. Listen to these verses. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, our commission is from the Lord. It's called the Great Commission. Now, a bunch of preachers didn't get together and just decide that this is what we should do. You know, some spiritual leaders got together at some point, had a big convention and said, how many of you think we ought to go and tell people about Jesus? And, you know, the majority won, so that's what... This is a commission from God. Think about that. I mean, how in the world can we shrink back from the commission that God, the God of the universe, gives to us? I see several things in this passage. I'll hit them real quick. You could preach this passage probably for weeks, and I'm not going to do that. But as I look at this, our commission is from the Lord is the main point. But notice in verse 18, notice what we are empowered with. We're empowered with the very power of God. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now, all means all, and that's all that it means, right? It means all power. There's nothing too big for our God to do. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So, the power of God is with us when we go out. You know, we don't have to go out with fear and hesitation and worry and fretting and anxiety. We have the power of God with us. Do you understand that? If you're doing what God has called you to do, you got the power of God with you. I really believe that anything God calls you to do, regardless of how either unequipped or ungifted or whatever you might be in that area, or how you stumble in that area, if God calls you to do it, He'll give you the power to do it. I mean, you'll be doing some things like, wow, I don't know quite how that happened, but praise the Lord. And that's exactly where the praise belongs, because I see in this passage, in this Great Commission, it's the power of God. The power of God. The second thing I see in this commission is the prompt from God. The prompt, the prompt from God. Notice what he says. I emphasize this in the Mark passage. Go! You ever had someone say, now, if I say jump, you say how high? Why is that? Because they got the authority, right? Is that what you tell her, Jerry? What's that? You're used to jumping high. Okay. But the prompt comes from God. I mean, he makes it clear. Go! Words in red, the very words of Jesus, and it's in God's book. And can I tell you, if Jesus were here right now, he'd be looking in your eyes and he'd be saying, you know what? I need you to go. I need you to go. So we not only see the power of God, we see the prompt is from God. But notice the purpose is from God too in verses 19 and 20. Not only says go, but go ye therefore. What is our mission? What is our purpose? Teach all nations. It has the same thought in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then, of course, if they trust that, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In other words, making disciples, sharing the gospel. So I see in this passage the power of God. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I see the prompt from God. It says, go. I see the purpose from God is to go and teach. Teach him about the Lord. Share the gospel. And if they get saved, baptize them. And number four, I see the presence of God. And this is big. This is big. Into verse 20. It says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Yeah, I've heard some people jokingly say, that's why I don't fly. Because it says, and lo, I am with you always. Not high, but lo. I don't think that's exactly what's intended in this passage of Scripture. You can decide that. But the point is, when we go out, I really think that every single one of us has at least a little bit of fear when it comes to sharing the gospel. But we need to remind ourselves that the Lord says, I'm with you. Not only is his power with us, but his presence is with us. I mean, and I'm telling you, sometimes we draw up in our mind, we may see somebody, big old dude. You know, he's got more hair than a person ought to have. He's got hair here and hair here. And, you know, he's got his shirt unbuttoned. There's hair there. I mean, it's just hairs everywhere. He got tattoos all over his arms. And you know, he may be smoking a cigarette or vaping or something. And you're like, whoa. He maybe pull up on his motorcycle. And you're like, ah. And I'm not belittling people like that. They all need Jesus. There's only two kind of people, lost and saved. And if they need Jesus, we might look at it and say, oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. They look pretty intimidating. But you know what? The Lord says, all power is given unto me, and lo, I am with you always. So we need to go with boldness. And I have every intention at some point of starting an official visitation program. And guess what? Guess what's not going to happen? It's not just going to be the preacher and one other person coming to visitation. I mean, really, we need people to step up when this happens and we say we're going to get together at such time and we're going to go out and share the gospel. We need people to show up. And I guarantee you that there'll be a little cringe of fear probably cross your mind and your heart. But guess what? We don't have to be afraid. The Lord is with us. The presence of God. Power of God, the prompt from God, the purpose from God, and the presence of God. I'm thankful for that. So tonight, before leading someone to Jesus, we must see the need to obey God. We find in Mark, our responsibility is to every man. We find in Matthew, our commission is from the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. These are some of the clearest passages that our responsibility is to be a witness for the gospel of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I'll read that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And notice it phrases it this way in Acts. It says, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, I find from this passage that our witnessing should extend around the world. Our witnessing should extend around the world. You know, we are witnesses of what God can do when God saved us, right? I mean, we don't have to just, you know, some people when they teach, you know, I've had a lot of different classes and a lot of different subjects, and sometimes it's theory, theory, theory. We're teaching theory here. You know, I've always been more of a concrete kind of person. You know, show me. You know, theory or something my hands can get into. Theory is fine, but can I say that you don't have to base your testimony and your witness upon theory. You have experience. If you're saved, if you're born again, you can say, firsthand witness here. I know what God's done for me. And I can tell you how I got saved. I was in that little country church. I heard the preacher preach, and he said, whosoever will may come to Jesus tonight and be saved. And I went down that aisle, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus. Or you might say, someone knocked on my door to ask if I knew I was going to heaven or not. And I said, oh, really? And he said, well, can I share with you how you can get saved? And they did. And right there in my kitchen, I trusted Jesus. I prayed the prayer. I mean, you don't have to worry about theory or making something up. You were there. You see, our witnessing should extend around the world. And our witnessing. And I like this. One reason I like this verse, it draws circles around us. You know, it says, you'll be my witnesses unto me, witnesses unto me, that is, both in Jerusalem, that's right, we're here, real close, right? And in Judea, that's the region of, that's the southern part of Israel, right? That whole region there of Judea. And then beyond that, Samaria is the next region above that. And then it says, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, our witness should extend locally, but we should also make sure that it extends in these ever-expanding circles. And that's where you say, preacher, I've never felt called to be a missionary to Africa. That's where missions comes in. And that's where I've been promising you as well that when God gives me the green light, we'll be looking at missions, and we'll be probably expanding, I hope, our missions giving and our missions ministry to the world. And you see, that's our responsibility. You say, well, I don't feel called. Well, praise the Lord, you don't feel called. That's fine. But there's missionaries out there that need our support. And I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure about this. I don't have any numbers before me, but missionary numbers are really going down. I remember when I was in seminary way back, did I graduate in, 93? Is that right? From seminary in 93. That's a good long time ago. Is it 10? Yeah, a good long time ago. You know, there was mission boards, you know, that make sure that these missionaries receive their payment from the churches as churches support them and send it to the mission board. And they make sure that the missionaries have insurance and medical coverage and all this stuff. It's a really good service that these mission. There was mission boards that had all kind of missionaries. And, you used to look in the summer, they normally have missionary classes, like for people that have gone to Bible college, and then they go through this, you know, like intensive training in the summer, and then they graduate, and then they go out on what's called deputation to raise support. And it used to be, you'd look at pictures, and there was a bunch of people in this picture. And there was some mission board, a fairly sizable mission board that I get their magazine now at one point. And I believe they had like five missionaries. It's like, wow, really? I mean, that's not a criticism of the mission board. That's just saying we're not feeling the burden to lead people to Jesus that may live in other places around the world, but our responsibility is to them too. And if we can't go, we need to pray for them, and we need to give so they can go. And it used to be a time they could raise their support to go on the mission field pretty quick. You know, maybe say a year. I think now it's up between 2 and 3 years to raise the money you need to get on the mission field as they go to church and share their ministry and say, you know, I'm going to Africa. You know, the missionaries have been great. They'll come and share it whether you take them on as missionaries or not because they just trust the Lord. But our responsibility is to see that the gospel gets around the world. our witnessing should extend around the world. I kind of lost you on that for some reason. Did I lose everybody on that? You agree with that? You know, God loves America, but God loves every country of the world. And God loves every person in the world. And our responsibility really needs to go there. It can start local, and we ought to be witnesses right where we are, but we need to be witnesses around the world. And we do that, again, through prayer and through mission support. Fourthly, we're looking at before leading someone to Jesus, we must see the need to obey God. Under that, point number one, our responsibility is to every man. Secondly, our commission is from the Lord. Thirdly, our witnessing should extend around the world. And Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, you know our mission matches Christ's mission? Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Let me say that again. Our mission matches Christ's mission. Now, I know he went to the cross and he died on the cross. That's not part of our mission. But notice what it says. This is actually, again, I like really short, succinct verses in Scripture that just nail it down. You know, people say, well, why did Jesus come? Well, he came as a philosopher. He came as an example. He came as a, you know, he's a savior of mankind. But notice what this says very succinctly. It says in verse 10 of chapter 19, for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Wow. Do you know when we get a hold of that and we understand that that's why he came, our mission matches his. We're supposed to be doing exactly what he did. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that's our responsibility, is to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I'm by no means saying that we're Jesus, but isn't it kind of cool that our mission just continues on the mission of Christ? Now, we know that the Holy Spirit has to be working in the life of that person that we talk to him about Jesus, or our time is for naught if God's not working and the Holy Spirit's not convicting them. But we don't know that. I can't see the Holy Spirit working in someone's heart. So we just got to be faithful to share the gospel and how to be saved. Our mission matches Christ's mission. Our responsibility is to every man. Our commitment is from, or excuse me, the commission is from the Lord. Our witnessing should extend around the world. Fourthly, our mission matches Christ's mission. And last point tonight, out of John chapter 14, our obedience to the command to witness to others about the gospel is a measure of our love for God. Let me say that again. Our obedience to the command to witness to others about the gospel is a measure of our love for God. The Bible in John chapter 14, the Bible, we'll read some verses there, John chapter 14 and verse 15. Now I want you to pay real close attention to these verses, okay? John chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, This is the upper room discourse, okay? This is just before Jesus was betrayed, just before he was nailed to a cross, placed in a borrowed tomb, and resurrected. Just before that. This is the same night in which he was arrested, okay? As he's teaching his disciples, he says this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. When we looked at Mark 16:15, that sounds like a commandment to me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When we looked at Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, called the Great Commission, go ye therefore, right? Sounds like a commandment to me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, ye shall be my witnesses. It's definitely, if not a commandment specifically there, it's definitely an expectation. John 14:15 says, if we really love the Lord, we'll do our best to keep his commandments, right? We'll keep, we'll obey, we'll do his commandments, of which one of those commandments is to share the gospel with the people around us. Verses 21 to 24, notice this even nails it down a little bit more. He says, he that hath my commandments, Jesus speaking here also, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, that is, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, here it is again. It's the third time in this short passage of Scripture. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Here it is again. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. It says the inverse of that. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. You see, our obedience to the command to witness to others about the gospel is really, think about this, it's really a measure of how much we love the Lord. Now, there may be some things in life. Now, I'm not just saying that one area, but in that area, we can apply that. You know, there may be some things, you know, I love to read, maybe you'd say. So reading the Bible, now I'm going to show him I love him because that's easy for me. And prayer, that doesn't really bother me a whole lot. I spend a lot of time in prayer, you might say. Maybe you'd say, well, tithing, that's not a problem. I give my money to God's house and I'm fine with that. That doesn't stretch me a whole lot. You may say, prayer, reading the Bible, coming to church. You know, that's okay. I enjoy church. So that's okay. And you say, see, I got those covered, but now in that area of witnessing, that's a real struggle for me. If I'm understanding these passages right, even in the difficult areas, the most difficult areas that we may have, the ones we may struggle in, it's still a measure of our love. Because that stretches us. That makes us more uncomfortable. I think it's even a truer measure sometimes than the things we enjoy doing. Tonight, we've looked at, in this sermon series, leading someone to Jesus. Before leading someone to Jesus, we must see the need to obey God. Point number one under that, our responsibility is to every man. Our commission is from the Lord. You can't get a higher commission than that. Our witnessing should extend around the world. Our mission matches Christ's mission. And then lastly, we just looked at our obedience to the command to witness to others about the gospel is a measure of our love for God. Let me ask you just a few questions. Face to face, eye to eye, how's that? Do you see that God has commanded us to witness for him? Do you see that in Scripture? I really don't know how anyone can read God's word and come away with any conclusion other than, yes, I am supposed to be a witness for the Lord. I'm supposed to be sharing the gospel. Hopefully you see that as well. Question number two, are you being obedient and showing your true love for God by sharing the gospel with those around you? Are you being obedient and showing your true love for God by sharing the gospel with those around you? I'm not suggesting that you don't love the Lord. I love the Lord, but I could be a better witness because I love him more. You know? If I really love him more, I think I would be a better witness. If you'll not start sharing the gospel with others now, I mean, we've been eight Sunday nights looking at this. I don't know if you've looked in the mirror or not, but you're not getting any younger either. So if you're not willing now to be a better witness, with God's help, it's all about him. Remember, it's his commission, it's his power, it's his presence, all that. But if you're not willing to be a better witness now, I mean, when? You know, the truth of the matter is, as I say quite often, I'm not a drama king. I don't try to play on your emotions and get you to make a decision based upon like, oh, you're upset because I told this really emotional story or anything like that. But the truth of the matter is, there are people all around us dying. the people that are overdosing is crazy. I mean, the number of people around us and the number of suicides on purpose, not just overdosing by accident, but on purpose, people taking their own life. Crazy, crazy in our society today. So people are leaving this world like lickety-split, like one right after another. If we don't get a hold of this, at least take steps of improvement to say, you know what, I'm going to do better with God's help to be a witness. My real question is, after 8 weeks looking at God's Word and encouraging and challenging and all that, when in the world are we going to make up our mind to be a witness? When in the world? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you a question. Nobody looking around. God helping you tonight. God helping you. How many of you would say under the sound of my voice right now, God helping me, I'm going to do my best to be a better witness and share the gospel with the people around me? How many would say, that's me? That's me. God helping me. God sees those hands. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God helping me. God helping me. It's got to be God. God helping me. I'm going to do my best to be a better witness and share the gospel with the people around me. I have a second question. How many of you here tonight would say, you know what, I'm really not sure I'm saved? Don't raise your hand, don't indicate, but if you're here and you have any doubts at all, I'd encourage you to settle that. If anyone is listening to our live stream tonight, and they may say, I know I'm not saved, or they may say, I'm not sure I'm saved, you know, you can nail that down. If you're here, you can come up and say, preacher, I want to nail that thing down. I want to know that I'm saved. But if you're listening in, let me tell you what you can do. From your heart, mean this from your heart, mean it with everything that you are. You can call out to God right now. Say, God, would you save me? God, would you forgive me of my sins? I believe Jesus died to pay for my sins on the cross and resurrected back to life, and I want Jesus as my Savior. I mean, there's no magic in the words, but if you mean that from your heart and truly believe Jesus was God's Son who died for you and asked for His forgiveness, you can be saved right wherever you are. I'd encourage you to do that, and I'd encourage you to let us know about that, and we'll pray for you and help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this 8-part series, Lord, that you've given to us to share with your church, Lord, about being a witness, about sharing the gospel. Lord, I pray that our resolve is greater than it's ever been. I pray, Lord, that you helping us, that we'll be bolder in our witness. And Lord, more committed to witnessing for you. When we see people, it won't be anger, but it'll be a burden to share the gospel with them. Lord, just help us in these areas, and we thank you for the hands that were raised. We thank you that you're speaking to our hearts and drawing us closer to you. I really think that's what the Christian life is all about, drawing closer to you. And Lord, we thank you for those who are here tonight, saw the priority to be here, and Lord, made the decision that, Lord, helping us, Lord, we'll draw closer to you and be a bolder witness for you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.